We come once again this evening to our series within a series that we began last week, the series on marriage and the family. And I want to read to you once again Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22 through 33. We're going to read these verses every week, so you'll know them by memory by the time we're done with this series we're doing here. Verse 22, Ephesians 5, Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." And so when we began our series last week, the message that we shared last week was entitled God and Marriage, and you remember perhaps if you were with us or maybe those of you listening on the radio that we talked about the fact that marriage is an institution that was ordained by God. It originated with him. We talked about how marriage is sacred for the very reason that it originated in God, and then we talked about the fact that marriage is permanent, intended to be permanent by God. And then we went on to talk a little bit about the purpose of marriage, and we saw that the primary purpose of marriage is companionship, that we might have a companion, someone that we can relate to closely, spiritually and emotionally and mentally and physically. Then we saw that procreation is another purpose in marriage, that the human race might be perpetuated. And then we saw also that God, through the marriage relationship, is wanting to set forth an example to people of the relationship that he shares with his people. And then finally, we looked at ways to assure a God-glorifying marriage. And that if we are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if we are walking in the Spirit, and if we are obeying explicitly what we are called to do, then we can anticipate a marriage that's going to glorify God. So, that's an overview of what we did in our first study. We're going to move on tonight to speak on the wonderful topic of wives submitting to their husbands, one of my favorite topics in all of the Bible. I'm just joking. This, of course, is a topic that is a controversial topic. It shouldn't be, really, but it is because there has been a great misrepresentation of what the Bible actually teaches on this subject. There has been a misrepresentation on the part of men regarding what it is to be the head over the household or over the woman and so forth. And the misrepresentations have caused confusion and frustration and resentment and things like that. So we hopefully can give a good, balanced, biblical understanding of the subject so that everyone involved is blessed, so that the ladies here among us this evening can go home saying, "God, I thank you that the Bible says submit to my husband." because as we're going to see, this is really God's plan, and it's the best. God, everything God does is the best. Every plan he has is the best possible plan. So if in your mind there's a negative, you know, sort of a thing that comes up when you hear this verse quoted, then know that you're misunderstanding what the Bible teaches and what God has in mind, and God wants you to be able to rejoice in his word in this area. So let's just look once again at these verses. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, the word submit, it is a strong word. And there are those who try to get away from what's really being taught here by saying, well, you know, this word submit doesn't really mean what people give the impression that it means, that you're actually, you know, supposed to subordinate yourself to your husband. Well, that is exactly what the word means. The word that's translated submit into English, the Greek word hupotasso, was actually a military term, primarily used in a military context, meaning to place oneself under the authority of another, as in subordination to a superior officer. And so Paul begins his practical instruction here in marriage with calling the wives to be submissive to their own husbands. Now, many have accused Paul of being sexist. Many have accused Paul of being against women and that sort of thing. And many just flat out reject his teaching here, and they say that this isn't God's teaching, this is just Paul's teaching because he grew up in a male dominant culture and he was just speaking for his culture. We're going to see in a moment that there's nothing further from the truth. But what we need to understand is when the Bible calls the wife to submit to the husband, it's not because the wife is inferior to the husband. It doesn't mean that she is spiritually or mentally inferior. And the Bible does not teach at all that women are spiritually or mentally inferior to men. But often, just, you know, when this teaching of submission comes up, immediately that's the conclusion that people begin to draw. And I would suggest that that's not a fair conclusion. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Is Jesus inferior to God the Father because he submits to him? If we know anything about what the Bible says, we would have to answer no. The Bible teaches that there is an absolute equality between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Here's another question. Are church members inferior to church elders because they are called to submit to them? The obvious answer there is no. There's no inferiority on the part of church members to church elders. They're both people, but there's a difference in position. And you see, God is a God of order. And he has structured things in a certain way because this is the way they work best. God knows what works best. He created the whole system of life. And so he knows the proper order. And the wife is not inferior to the husband any more than Christ is inferior to the Father, or the church members are inferior to church elders. It's just a matter of an order that God has established so that things can function the best way possible. That's what the intention is. Man and woman are equal in the sense that they both bear the image of God equally. When we go back to the very beginning of creation, the creation of man and the creation of woman, we find there that God said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness." And then God created them, male and female, he created them in his image. So man and woman equally bear the image of God. Now, in the marital relationship, what we have is a partnership of two spiritually equal human beings, man and woman, but the man is called to bear the primary responsibility to lead the partnership in a God-glorifying direction because that's the way God has established it. And the wisest thing that anyone could ever do is submit to God's order in things. It's when we refuse to follow God's directions that life becomes miserable. So know this, God did not give this instruction here to make you miserable as a Christian wife. He gave this instruction to bless you. This is when marriage is going to be at its best, when the wife is doing what she's called to do and the husband is doing what he's called to do. Now, the wife's call to submit shows the biblical principle of male headship. This is a biblical principle, male headship, which is modeled after Christ, who is the head of the church. Now, this is the biblical teaching. Male headship modeled after Christ, who is the head of the church. The antithesis of male headship is male dominance. There's a vast difference between those two things. Male headship is biblical, modeled after Christ, who is the head of the church. Male dominance is sin. And there's been much sin in this area, generally speaking, throughout human history, and there has even been sin in the church in this regard, where men have dominated women rather than held that place of headship over them. And that has certainly been wrong. Let me just define what male dominance is. It's the assertion of the man's will over the woman's will, heedless of her spiritual equality, her rights, and her values. The Bible does not teach or condone in any way male dominance. Now, you see, we so often hear that the Bible is a sexist book, the apostle was sexist, and quite often they will point to examples of male oppression over women in the context of the church. But you see, what they're failing to distinguish is that that's not what the Bible teaches. That's a misrepresentation of what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach or condone male dominance. It condemns it. And I think it's important that we understand that today, because there's all kinds of confusion out in the world today, and there's all kinds of accusations being put forth against the teaching of Scripture, and yet quite often it's not really the Scriptures people are actually against. They think they are because they look at what they see in the Christian community and say, "Oh, well, this obviously is what the Bible teaches." No, not necessarily true. Many times it's a distortion of what the Bible teaches. And Paul himself, his teaching here, it really flew right in the face of the view generally held at his time. Now, this whole thing of male dominance is not a new thing. This has been going on for centuries. And it was the general manner of life at the time that Paul wrote. So when Paul wrote about there being neither male nor female in Christ, but all are one. When Paul wrote that the husband was to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, these were things that were flying in the face of the culture that Paul was brought up in, both the Jewish culture and the Greco-Roman culture. He was really standing against the tide of his day. Among the Jews, the rabbis had taught that women were basically servants. In fact, the rabbis taught the men to pray this prayer: God, I thank you that I am not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. Amen. So that was the general attitude among the Jews at the time. The Greeks, Demosthenes, an Athenian orator and statesman, he said this. He said, we have courtesans for the sake of pleasure. We have concubines for the sake of daily cohabitation, and we have wives for the purpose of having children legitimately and being faithful guardians for our household affairs. And the Romans, they were very similar in their view to the Greeks. They took much of their culture from the Greek culture. So as Paul comes onto the scene as the apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's talking about this equality and no distinction between men and women, and really elevating women in a way that they had never known historically. You see, Paul was anything but against women. He is not the one to blame for the sexist attitude that has sometimes been found among Christians. It's a distortion of Paul's teaching. Paul taught male headship modeled after Christ, the head of the church. A distortion of that is male dominance. So the Bible elevates women to a most honorable place. And a wife submitting to her husband is God's good plan for women. So with that, let's look specifically at this whole thing of submission. Wives, submit to your husbands. Remember, the idea is to subordinate yourself, put yourself under their leadership. So many questions arise when we start talking about submission. One of the first questions is, what if I disagree with my husband? Am I still to go along with him? Am I still to give him the lead? Well, that would definitely be submission. Now, if you just go along with everything he says that you agree with, then it's hard to see in that any real act of submission. You see, it's when you might not totally agree and you say, okay, nevertheless, dear, I'm going to trust God and do what he called me to do in this situation. That's when you're really obeying this command here to be submissive. Now, you might say, but that's frightening, because my husband doesn't always make the best decisions. And as a matter of fact, I'm a lot smarter than he is. And I'm afraid if I just submit in this area that he's going to get us into all kinds of trouble. Listen, this is where you get the opportunity to live by faith. This is where you get an opportunity to trust the Lord. And you can say, Lord, I think this is really a lame move on the part of my husband. And Lord, I'm going to trust you to convince him that he's not supposed to go in this direction. And, you know, God is good. He's going to take care of him. He's going to help out in the situation. But this is the position the wife is to take. Even if you disagree with your husband's decisions, you see, God has called him to lead. And if he's making the wrong decision, you must trust that God is able to communicate that to him, and he is hopefully going to submit to God in that area. And if he doesn't, you're going to just have to trust that God's going to deal with him as well. Now, what if my husband asked me to do something against Scripture? A wife might say. Well, that, of course, would be where you would have to draw the line on submission. God is not going to call you to submit to your husband to the point that you end up disobeying him. And so it's important to understand that. I heard just recently of a man, a Christian man, a man who was in ministry actually, who had a problem and sexually, and he was wanting his wife to get involved in all of these bizarre things that were helping him supposedly enjoy that aspect of his life more. And the stuff that he was asking her to get into was just absolutely wrong. It was clearly sinful. And in this particular case, the woman went along with it, thinking, well, you know, I'm supposed to submit to my husband. Not to that extent. That's not what the Bible's talking about. You know, it's sort of like the command in the Old Testament for children to honor their parents. Many times people will, you know, ask the question, well, what about my parents? You know, they're atheists, they're hostile to Christianity, they persecute me, and they're, you know, and then they'll go on and kind of describe the situation, and am I supposed to be obedient and submissive in that area? And, you know, you have to remember that those commandments were given in the context of a nation that was set apart for God. And the commandment for the children to honor their parents was given on the assumption that the parent was honoring God. And so when a parent is not honoring God, then it, you know, how do you say, and I'm not talking about small children, I'm talking about many times adult children will ask those questions. And likewise, the context of Ephesians here is the Christian marriage, the relationship between a Christian man and a Christian woman. And so hopefully the Christian man is going to be a Christian to the extent that he's not going to be asking his wife to do anything that's going to violate God's command on her life and the Scriptures. But if that were to be the case, which it is sometimes, that is a place where you draw the line and you do not submit to that extent. Now, what if my husband asked me to do something that violates my conscience? Maybe Scripture doesn't say anything about it, but I just don't feel like I can do it. Well, that's something that you need to really take seriously before the Lord. And, you know, if it's something like, you know, it violates your conscience to cook dinner five nights a week, that's just something that you cannot really, you know, bring yourself to do. I think you probably lost on that one, but, you know, if it's something that isn't specifically dealt with in Scripture, all joking aside, that you just feel like, no, you know, I just do not feel as a Christian that I can do that, then I think, you know, that's where you would draw the line as well. Now, many times a woman will say, well, what if my husband isn't obeying the Lord? My husband's a Christian, but yet he's not really obeying the Lord in certain areas. What am I to do then? Well, Peter gives us the answer to that. He said in the third chapter of his first epistle, verse 1, he said, wives, be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the manner of life of their wife. So it's the submissive spirit that Peter says is a great witness. And many times when a man is not obeying the Lord, the tendency of the wife is to then rebel against the husband. But that's not the biblical instruction. The biblical instruction is to be submissive. Now, Paul says here, wives, submit to your own husbands, notice, as to the Lord. Now, what does he mean by as to the Lord? You know, there are certain things that at times we have to do as to the Lord. We have to look past the situation and do it as unto the Lord. You know what I mean? There are a number of things that, you know, sometimes there's something that you don't really want to do, but you just say, well, you know, I'm going to do this as unto the Lord. I don't really want to do it, but I'm going to do it for the Lord's sake. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Remember, here's the important point, ladies. Remember that this is what God calls you to do. So even if it goes against the grain with you, you have to look beyond your husband, the situation, and you have to say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you as part of my obedience to you as a Christian. There are times when God calls us to obey him, and it doesn't necessarily go along with our plan or our thinking on something, or it doesn't fit in with our agenda. So what do? Do we just say, well, I'm not going to obey God in this area because... No, we don't do that. We submit to the Lord. And regardless of how we feel about something, we say, okay, I'm going to, as unto the Lord. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Wives, submitting to your husbands as unto the Lord. Put the Lord before you and realize that this is part of my duty as a Christian wife. You have certain things that you're called to do as a Christian wife. Your husband has certain things that he's called to do as a Christian husband. Now remember, in our first study in the series last week, we talked about the importance of obeying explicitly what God has instructed you concerning your role in the marriage. And I brought up the problem that we often have in the church of concentrating on what the other person is supposed to do and neglecting to really consider what we are supposed to do. And this is where that kind of thing really comes into play. Because my husband isn't doing what I think he ought to do spiritually, then I'm going to hold off submission until he gets his act together. You see, what you're doing is you're allowing his failure to cause you to fail, and you're not supposed to do that. You are supposed to continue steadfast in obedience to the Lord, regardless of what the other person is doing, and then trusting that God is going to deal with the other person. God is going to take care of it. Now, my wife learned a long time ago that a lot of times the worst thing she could possibly do is try to force me to do something. And she nicknamed me the Rock. That is her way of saying that I am immovable at certain times. But then she coined this little prayer, Lord, speak to the rock. And, you know, I'll tell you, the Lord speaks to the rock. And she might not be able to move me, but when she prays for me and God speaks to me, I get moved, I get convicted, And actually, you know, she's even moving me a little these days. I'm not as stubborn as I used to be in my younger years. But you see, ladies, that's the thing. It's turning them over to the Lord, trusting God. God, you deal with this. God, this, my husband's, you know, he's doing this or he's not doing this or he's requiring this or he's making this decision here. And again, you know, we all have a tendency to want to control things. You ever heard the term control freak? Almost everybody I know is a control freak. I used to think that was sort of just an isolated thing, you know, a few people here and there. But I realize as time goes on, everybody is like that. You know, that's just human nature. We want to control everything. And yet, some of the stuff is just beyond our control. It's out of our hands. And so we have got to trust the Lord. Ladies, trust the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Look to the Lord. Look beyond your husband. Now, going back here to verse 23, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Why do you do this? Because the husband is the head. Why is the husband the head? We've already pointed out, not because he's superior, not because he's smarter, not because he's more spiritual, but because this is the way God has established it. This is what we find going all the way back to the beginning when God created man, when he created the man and the woman. Remember that Adam was created first, wasn't he? Adam was created first, and then what did God say? He said that the loneliness of man was not good, so he decided to create a helper that was suitable for man, comparable to him, like him. Create another creature like the man who was suitable, able to help the man. So the woman was made from the man. Remember, the woman was taken from the man and made for the man. And also, man and woman together are called man, not woman. Now, I say this because there are those today who really want to turn this whole thing upside down. Not just people outside in the system of the world steeped in the feminist movement. There are people in the church who are influenced by the world who want to come into the church and they want to reverse the biblical order. And we have within the body of Christ today, we have what are known as evangelical feminists. These are women and men who believe the Bible to be the Word of God. They say they do, but they have also been greatly influenced by modern thinkers on the subject of feminism, for example. And so they try to bring in ideas from these thinkers, and in doing so, they're trying to really sort of, you know, get around or even undermine what the Scripture is saying. And so they actually teach that originally, in the original creation, when God created the man and the woman, there was an absolute equality, totally and completely. There was no distinction in roles. There was no, you know, man being above the woman in any sense whatsoever. The woman wasn't created for the man, they say. And that's just really a denial of the plain teaching of Scripture. And, you know, they really go out on a limb with some of their interpretation. And they come up with some real crazy ideas. They actually teach, believe it or not, that because the woman was to be the helper to the man, that implies immediately the superiority of the woman. Because someone who helps someone else is obviously more capable than they are. That's why they need their help, because this person is superior to them. And so they have pulled that out of Genesis somehow. And then they've actually taken one of the Hebrew words, and they've distorted the Hebrew word to mean that the woman is superior to the man. And, you know, it's a twisting. But what it really is, it's just a rebellion against God's established order. And the human heart has a tendency toward rebellion. And that's what's happening. And so we find it in the church. And then they go on, you know, having said all of that, they go on to talk about the whole idea of a woman being subservient to a man is a result of the curse. It's part of the punishment for sin. And now here's where they go with that. Because it's part of the punishment for sin, it's no longer relevant to Christian women because Jesus came and he undid what was done when Adam and Eve sinned. So their conclusion is that under the New Testament, there is absolutely no place for women to be submissive to men. You ask the obvious question, then what is Ephesians 5 all about? But you see, here's where it gets problematic. They say, oh, well, Paul, you see, he was wrong. Paul was a product of his culture. Paul came from a patriarchal, man-oriented culture, and so he was just communicating what he had himself grown up in. But you see, in doing that, what they're really doing is they're really denying the inspiration and the authority of the Apostle Paul. They're saying these are Paul's words and he was wrong because he was influenced by his culture. Then what they're saying is that Paul's epistles are not inspired by God. They're not part of the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of God. I disagree. Paul did not write this as a person influenced by his culture. Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. This is what God says. This is God's order. This is God's plan. It's not Paul's plan. And that's what we really have to understand. And if a person has a problem with anything in Scripture, they have ultimately a problem with God, not with man. So, the Scripture definitely teaches male headship, and Paul here is really just reaffirming the order of creation. He's reaffirming the order of creation. He's just going back to what was actually taught in Genesis. Now, here's an interesting thing to me from my own experience. When I met my wife, she had been a Christian for many, many, many more years than I had. She basically was brought up in the faith. And if you ask her today, you know, when was she saved, she has no recollection of a time that she wasn't saved. Now, I, on the other hand, I had just come to the Lord about a year before I met her. So here she is. She's grown up in the faith, and I'm newly converted in many ways. And we get together, and even though there's that difference there, she was older in the Lord, older spiritually, more experienced, knew the Bible better than I did. Yet God ordained the man to be the head. And it just naturally, supernaturally went in that direction. I never really had to say, okay, look now, I know you've been a Christian longer than I have, but I'm in charge, okay? You know, I never had to say that to her. God just does what he does. He just, you know, he gave me that role and she submitted to it. And see, you see, sometimes that's the thinking of certain women. Well, I'm older in the Lord than my husband, or I'm more spiritual. And unfortunately, sometimes that is the case. And because I'm more spiritual than my husband, he obviously can't be the leader. I've got to be the leader. But this is where, again, a lot of trouble comes up in a marriage. When a woman tries to be in the position God has not called her to be in, that makes for trouble in the marriage. And many times a man who might be battling with his own insecurity about his spiritual inferiority, wanting to take the lead because the wife is usurping that position, he never really does. And there's just this imbalance all the way along in the marriage. Ladies, you got to step out of the way and let your husband be the person that God's called him to be. And even if he's not as old in the Lord as you, even if he's not as well versed as you are, even if he doesn't pray as fervently as you do, those things, don't let those things influence you to get in a place that God doesn't want you to be, a place that God hasn't called you to be. When you take your position in the marriage that God has ordained, that's when you're going to find that marriage is really a good thing. This is the way it's supposed to be. You see, God knows the best. And this thing of wives submitting to their husbands, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's the best thing. It's the way things are supposed to be. Think about this with me for a moment. We all know who committed the first sin. We all know, in a sense, what the first sin was. It was partaking of the fruit that God had forbidden. But you know, it's interesting, if you look closely at the story there in Genesis 3, you know what Eve did? Eve rebelled against her husband's authority. She did not acknowledge his authority. When Satan came to Eve, Eve should have directed the serpent to Adam. She should not have even conversed with him. But she did converse with him. And in a sense, I don't want to stretch this, but in a sense, the first sins involved the man and the woman vacating their God-ordained positions. Not only with Eve, but with Adam as well. Have you ever noticed when God pronounces judgment upon the man, what he says to him? He says, because you listened to your wife, because you obeyed her voice. You see, there's role reversal there. And God is rebuking the man for his failure to be the head. And Eve was also guilty of a lack of submission in that she took it upon herself to deal directly with the serpent rather than deferring everything over to Adam. And have you noticed the outcome of that role reversal? The human family has been a mess ever since. And that is a warning to us that if we do not follow God's order of creation in our marital relationship, then we are also going to find that our families are messed up. We're going to find that we have got all kinds of trouble in the marriage relationship itself, in the parenting relationship, in dealing with just the various issues that arise within the context of the family. And so, wives are to be submissive. I have seen, and please don't think I'm just accusing wives here, because it certainly goes both ways, and I could tell stories going both directions, but since we're specifically talking to the wives tonight, I'll leave it to that. But I have seen situations where the husband is wanting to go deeper with the Lord. The husband's wanting to get more serious about his relationship with God. He's wanting to bring a new standard into the home. He's wanting to make a fresh commitment and, you know, make some sacrifices and things. And I have seen many wives rebel against that. And I remember talking to one person about how God was really dealing with him about the whole environment at home and how, you know, everything was just really out of order. The TV was on all the time. The kids were always just glued to it. And the wife was, you know, into it. And he was feeling really strongly that God was saying, you got to go in and clean up your, you know, your environment here that you live in. And yet every time he tried to move in that direction, there was great resistance coming from his wife. You see, that's the exact opposite of what the scriptures are teaching. As the man is feeling convicted, he's the one to bring the standard into the home. God's going to speak to the husband about that because that's his role. And the wisest thing that you could possibly do as a wife is to submit to that and say, yes, that's a direction that we want to go in. You're going to find that you're going to be blessed. Sometimes a wife will be caught up in materialism. The husband will be saying, you know, I feel like we need to make a change in our lives. We need to, you know, dedicate ourselves more to fellowship and to the things of the Spirit and, you know, maybe cut back on the overtime and things like that. And, oh, no, we can't do that because we need those things. And because the woman is living in a state of covetousness, she's, you know, lusting after material things. And so, you know, resisting the move toward the things of the Spirit. this is undermining your marriage. This is undermining your family. This is bringing your own house down on your own head. You don't want to do that. And so it goes on to say here, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, let's be real frank here tonight. This is right in the face of the culture we live in, isn't it? I mean, this is in-your-face teaching for 2002. This is so contradictory to the mentality of the world. You know what? That right there ought to show you the divine nature of it. This is just going completely against the tide of what's happening in our world today. And, you know, there are a lot of things that, it's funny, there are a lot of things that we think, just because we think them as modern men and women, or postmodern men and women as is technically the terminology now, that it must be right. Well, no, not necessarily. You know, isn't it funny how, you know, sort of opinions on a lot of general things have really changed nowadays? As though that everybody before this present generation was wrong about almost everything. You know, we hear about how, you know, there's all these new standards in child rearing and things like that today. And, you know, you should never spank a child under any circumstances. And, you know, the kinds of discipline that many of us who are, you know, middle-aged grew up with is seen as something that was you know, just a horrible, horrible thing in our culture, and thank God it's changed, you know, and the idea is that we are right in all of our opinions, and everybody before us that did anything differently than we did it, we're wrong. And of course, the Bible is included in that view. The Bible's wrong about everything it says about raising children. And after all, it says, beat your children with a rod, and we know for sure that that's wrong. You know, it's funny. I don't beat my children, but, you know, I've often thought as I listen to the social service people and all these people, you know, pontificate on all of this stuff, you know, what's the proof that your position is right? Are the youth of today, are they proof of the superiority of your position? Give me a break. But there's also the mentality today that for a woman to submit to her husband, that's just so wrong. We have discovered in this generation that everything that everybody did before us was wrong, and we've now got it all right. We've got more divorce than we've ever had before. We've got more family problems than we've ever had in the history of our country. We've got more problems with juvenile delinquency than we've ever had. So how is it that these people think they're right? I read a book some years ago called The Vision of the Anointed, written by an economics professor, Thomas Sowell. And he says, you know, there are people in our country, there are people in our culture, the academic elite, who have developed a worldview, and simply because they hold that view, they believe that it's right. And anyone who rejects their view, anyone who disagrees with their position, is automatically wrong. There's no two ways about it. And so he goes ahead and he talks about their vision for life, their vision for the culture, their vision for the country. And he calls it the vision of the anointed because they believe that they are infallible, that every view they hold on every single thing is the absolute right view. And anyone who disagrees with their view is obviously wrong. And of course, all of their views are in total disagreement with the Scriptures. The Scriptures, that's our authority. And when the Scripture says, wives, be submissive to your husbands in everything, that flies right in the face of the culture, but let it fly. We are not part of the culture. We're not to be influenced by the culture. If we're to do anything in regard to the culture, we're to influence it. not let it influence us. It really bugs me when I see the church grabbing on to the things that are important in the culture and then Christianizing those things. Evangelical feminism is just an example of it. And we've got a variety of things. You know, we've got Christians for a clean earth. You know, Christians out trying to save the environment and so forth. And you know, I'm not saying that we should go out and throw our trash out the window as we're driving down the street, you know. But, I mean, these people are like, this is their life. You know, you would think that the gospel was go out and save a tree, not go out and save a soul. They're not interested in saving souls. They're interested in saving bushes and bugs and birds and things like that. No, that's not the gospel mandate. I'm sorry. And you can just find in, you know, all of the little things that are happening in the culture, there's sort of the Christian version of it. And that's wrong. If we have any relationship to the culture at all, it's to influence it toward God and to be a rebuke to it and to stand in the face of it and say, you know what, I don't care what you say. I don't care what the feminist movement has to say about what women are supposed to do or not supposed to do. Most of them say today that all women are supposed to be lesbians. So that's where that's headed. Don't take any of it. Don't touch any of it. Don't listen to any of it. Don't be influenced by any of it. This is God's word. This isn't Paul's word. This isn't the word of some out of touch, politically incorrect person. It's the word of God. And it says that just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. How is the church subject to Christ? Well, ideally, we're to be totally and completely subject to Christ. We have our failures, but yet we recognize when we fail and we say, Lord, forgive me, and let's get back on track. And we struggle in our relationships. We struggle in our marriages. And wives struggle in submitting, and husbands struggle in loving their wives as Christ loved the church. But that's the goal. That's the ideal. That's the standard. And we keep shooting for it. If we miss, we just, you know, say, I'm going to do better next time. And as we do that, God blesses and he honors. And it's possible to have a marriage, even today, when there are so many problems in this realm. It is very possible, completely within the realm of possibility, to have a great marital experience. It's all really dependent upon obeying explicitly what God has called you to do in your role. So, men, this message was not for you. So don't take anything home that I said and beat your wife over the head with it, because she's going to get a lot more ammo in the weeks to come with which to beat you if you want to do that. See, you know, this is hard. I mean, my wife should be up here talking about this, not me. But when we get to the men, I can talk about that freely because I am right there and I've done all the stupid things that men generally do. So when we look at the command to love our wives as Christ loved the church, to cherish them as our own bodies and all of these things, there's going to be some heavy, heavy stuff that we're going to see we're accountable for. So what I'm saying is this. Let the Lord speak to your wife about these things. And you don't worry. You'll have plenty to concentrate on yourself as we carry on in the series. But that's an important thing that we've got to keep in focus, that if we will do ourselves what God called us to do, then things will come together like he said they would, and our marriages, our families, our home lives will be blessed. That's what God desires. And he's made it thoroughly possible. Wives, be submissive to your husbands as to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that you would help us as your people to be submissive to you, first of all. And Lord, we just pray tonight that your word would be the authority in all of our lives. Lord, that we would not be influenced by other things. Lord, that we wouldn't be influenced by what we see on TV or what we read in a magazine or what we've heard in a classroom, if it contradicts what you've already said. Help us to stand firmly fixed in the authority of your word. And help us, Lord, to know that these things that you have declared regarding relationships, these things are not just opinions to be considered, but they are absolute truths to be applied. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.